When the attack was reported last week, it seemed believable. The Jewish owner of a Winnipeg cafe physically attacked, her family's business trashed and painted in anti-Semitic graffiti. It shocked the community and led to an outpouring of support, exactly the way you'd expect. But then, today, it all got turned upside down. Police say the cafe owners staged the whole thing and have charged them with a crime. As Cameron McIntosh tells us, even as the family sticks by its story, the community is in shock once again.
Did you fake the vandalism?
We didn't. We didn't. Because we don't joke about swastika on our walls.
They flatly deny it, insisting they are in fact victims of hate. Oksana Berendt and her son Maxim explaining themselves on CBC Radio just after being charged along with Oksana's husband hours before for public mischief.
In this moment, somebody grabbed me.
She insists on last Thursday night she was alone inside her Winnipeg cafe when she was attacked. The cafe was also robbed and vandalized with anti-Semitic graffiti. The story caused an outpouring of sympathy and defiant denouncements of hate until today.
In the end, we found evidence of a crime. It just wasn't a hate crime. I am hugely disappointed and frankly angry that this family has used hate and racism in such a disingenuous way.
It's not something that we do. It's against our Jewish law. It's against our beliefs.
They can find any evidence against anybody.
At first, some members of Winnipeg's Jewish community deemed it the most brazen local anti-Semitic attack in memory. Now, B'nai B'rith says if these allegations are true, it damages the entire community.
This is a betrayal of the community and a betrayal of also the police. It's a waste of time. And of course, people might roll their eyes at incidents in the future and think, oh, is it true or is it not?
Oksana Berendt, her husband Alexander, and son Maxim are charged with public mischief after reporting she was assaulted in an attack that left her cafe trashed and vandalized with anti-Semitic graffiti. They say it wasn't them.
Can you imagine how I feel when my place is destroyed like that? What did I do to you? I built this place, okay?
Police say otherwise.
The incident here in Winnipeg this past weekend was staged.
The evidence, police say, will come out in court. Inside the cafe, you can still see signs of their investigation. Backlash against the family has been swift. A Jewish gay and lesbian advocacy group moved out of the building they shared.
We were shocked. We were beside ourselves. We were completely floored.
The concern is held widely.
There's a tremendous concern that this will actually cause more anti-Semitism.
Court records show the family is facing lawsuits over debts. They deny staging this for financial gain.
And I don't want people to judge us, okay? Wrongly, because we didn't do it. We had no reason to do it, okay?
If the charges are upheld by court, it's disgusting.
The cafe had been up for sale, as is Oksana's home. Bernie Bellin writes for Winnipeg's Jewish Post and News. He says hate attacks involving assault are rare.
My first instinct was that this is terrible, but it doesn't have the normal hallmarks of an anti-Semitic incident.
But the Berendts insist they were targeted and say they're scared.
It's completely broke our family, our business, everything.
Meanwhile, an interfaith vigil that was planned for tomorrow night here at the cafe has been canceled, and a crowdfunding campaign that was set up to help support the family has been taken down, amid a lot of disappointment, confusion, and anger. Cameron McIntosh, CBC News, Winnipeg.
Now, as you heard from Cam, one big worry is that if this was a stunt, it could undermine support for real incidents. And the numbers show there are lots of those. Hate crimes reported to police in Canada reached an all-time high in 2017. That's the latest year for which there's data. In total, there were nearly 2,100 incidents, up a staggering 47% from the year before. The two biggest motivators for that hate, race and religion. Attacks on Jewish people topped the list, accounting for 18% of all hate crimes. Attacks on Muslims, a close second.
Police in Israel say this 18-year-old American Israeli is behind a series of bomb threats that terrorize Jewish communities around the world.
We managed to get to that suspect after having concrete intelligence from different security agencies around the world. He is the main suspect behind threatening different communities, both in New Zealand, Australia, across America.
The bomb threats, often detailed and vitriolic, were made over the past few months against dozens of Jewish community centers, day schools, and synagogues. While most, over 150, were in the United States, some Canadian Jewish organizations also had to evacuate after bomb threats. Today, there were mixed feelings about the arrest.
We're relieved that police have apprehended a suspect. At the same time, our community is shocked and outraged that the suspect is Jewish. The idea that someone from our own community would launch a campaign to terrorize our community institutions is appalling.
Police seized computer equipment when they arrested the teenager. They say he used sophisticated technology to make the calls over the internet, masking his location. Authorities have not released the suspect's name, but media reports in Israel suggest he may have a brain tumor that affects his behavior. His lawyer hinted at that.
This is a young person that, because of his very, very serious medical condition, didn't serve in the army, didn't go to high school, didn't go to elementary school. So that's why the medical condition can actually affect the investigation.
Israeli police also suspect the teen was behind a 2015 bomb threat that forced a Delta Airlines flight to return to New York's JFK Airport. The judge ordered that the teen should undergo a medical examination. Ron Charles, CBC News, Toronto.
He's been arrested after a synagogue was damaged by a fire in North York last week. It happened Thursday morning on Wilson Avenue, just south of Bathurst Street. Police say 67-year-old Avram Bobrovsky is now facing arson in connection with the incident. According to the investigation, the man gained access by using his own card and then deliberately setting a fire inside the synagogue. Police say he's a member of that synagogue. The investigation is ongoing and police are asking for anyone with information to come forward.
A man for spray painting swastikas on a Schenectady house last month, and now they say their suspect is the homeowner himself. Authorities say Andrew King spray painted his own home. He's charged with falsely reporting an incident. Last month, King called CBS 6 saying he found swastikas on his home, and he said he thought he was targeted because he wears a yarmulke everywhere he goes. Police were not giving a motive for the crime. We're told King was also charged for harassment after a warrant was out for his arrest. Police say days after the swastikas were reported, he threatened to harm someone during an argument. He'll be arraigned tomorrow morning.
New details tonight on a...
Well, Taryn, as you can imagine, the Jewish community in West Bloomfield is understandably shaken up because all this. Police say Sean Samet fabricated an attack on December 15th as he left a synagogue. Now police are crediting their investment in technology as one way that helped them crack the case. Attacks at places of worship are seemingly more common. The most recent at a Texas church earlier this week. Now people like Neil Crewman are always on alert going into temple.
I'm at the point where when I go to services, sometimes I don't really feel comfortable, but I'm at a point where I want people to know that we still have to do what we have to do.
That's why Crewman is upset. After learning Sean Samet, a former employee at Temple Kolami, is accused of making up a violent stabbing as he left work.
They're not doing any justice to themselves. I think it's a crime. And that it's like somebody calling a school and saying there's a bomb there when there's not.
West Bloomfield police say Samet claimed a man shouted anti-Semitic comments, then stabbed him. Samet told police he fought the attacker off and drove himself to Henry Ford, but police say his story didn't add up, and a thorough search of the parking lot found no evidence. That's when they analyzed Samet's Apple Watch and looked at his heart rate when Samet claimed the attack happened. Investigators say it was normal and should have been higher, but the watch showed before the attack, Samet's heart rate was elevated, leading police into the synagogue, where they say they found bloody tissues and a knife Samet used to stab himself.
We all have to think about the actions that we do. And so these little imprints, whether on his phone or his watch or a camera, it just really shows that every action we do is not going to go unnoticed.
Samet's now charged with filing a false police report. Exactly why he allegedly made up the attack is still unknown. But what leaders in the Jewish community do know?
Society has to come together, and we have to just let people know that we don't tolerate this. We don't tolerate exploiting the police. We don't tolerate exploiting anti-Semitism, and we don't tolerate anti-Semitism and hate.
Going back to the stab wounds that police say Samet committed on himself, they actually say they didn't need stitches. Taryn?
Well, great work by police. It was very interesting about that Apple Watch as well. But they take these hate crimes, the allegations, very seriously. But the problem is it can also impact other future victims who were attacked and are seeking justice.
You know, that's one thing that people we spoke to at the temple really brought up tonight. They hope that what happened here doesn't take away from everything that the real victims are going through. But meanwhile, West Bloomfield police say it was all hands on deck to find out exactly what happened and to get that investigation wrapped up as quickly as they did.
All right. Thank you, Veronica, for that report.
Crime detectives have arrested 56-year-old David Haddad for a string of anti-Semitic messages here in Brooklyn and in Manhattan. Now, my police sources are telling me that he's also the prime suspect in a rash of swastika incidents and a phone threat made here in Midwood over the weekend. And what's surprising here, police say Haddad is Jewish.
I was shocked. You never expected to be you.
A police officer now stands guard over school children at an Ocean Parkway yeshiva, defaced by hurtful and offensive symbols of hate. And a couple of blocks away, another swastika, spray painted on the wall of this apartment building. A third symbol defaced the garage door on the Miltz family property.
Fear, and you have to be careful and be more aware and, you know, not look behind you.
The disturbing discoveries were made Saturday night. Then Sunday evening, a couple in this neighborhood returned home to find a message on their voicemail threatening repeatedly to kill all Jews. Assemblyman Dove Hyken lives on the block. He says his neighbors and constituents are all on edge.
Whoever it is, you know, Jew, Muslim, whatever, we need to get those people off the streets. That is the most important thing, because people now are like, what's going on?
It's scary. It's scary. And your children are afraid, and, you know, I hope they catch the people that do it.
Police have made an arrest and four previous anti-Semitic phone threat messages. Under arrest is 56-year-old David Haddad. He is Jewish, according to police. He's charged with harassment as a hate crime. Now, also, police say that he's a relative of one of the victims and knows another. My sources say he's also the prime suspect in these most recent Midwood incidents.
We begin tonight with a surprising development in the story of those swastikas painted on the door of a student at George Washington University. Good evening, I'm Doreen Gensler.
And I'm Jim Vance. Turns out the student was painting the hateful symbols herself. Jackie Benson is at the university now with more on this. Jackie?
Jim, these incidents, and there were several of them, caused a lot of concern here on the GW campus. Now, the FBI was called in to assist after swastikas kept appearing on a message board, similar to a dry erase board, on the door of a female student, she is Jewish, who lived in Mitchell Hall. Now, the university confirms that a hidden camera placed in the hallway confirmed the student who was the apparent victim did it herself. News 4 spoke to that young woman, who asked not to be identified shortly after the hate-filled symbols began appearing on her door. Here's what she had to say at that time.
Oh.
Who does such a thing?
I wish I knew. I wish I had any clue who this was, but university police, my house proctor, administrators, nobody can think of a motive of somebody who hates me that much.
Through the use of hidden cameras, interviews, and increased police patrols, we have concluded, and through a final interview today, investigators have concluded that the student who reported the incidents is responsible for the incidents.
Now, the university has confirmed that the student, who is a freshman, has admitted responsibility for the swastikas in Mitchell Hall. She faces student judicial action, and she could face possible criminal charges. But I get the feeling here at this point that the university just wants to see her get some help. This has been a very troubling incident for everyone here. Jim, back to you.
Jackie Benson.
Free Palestine! From the river to the sea.
Leave me alone! Don't hurt me! Don't hurt me!
Palestine will be free.
Leave me alone! No! Don't hurt me!
From the river to the sea.
Don't hurt me! Don't hurt me!
This is so fucking hilarious,
dude. Don't hurt me! Don't hit me! Please don't hit me!
Please
don't
hit me!
We have an apple!
Please, Occupation is a crime. Israel out of Palestine. Free Palestine. Free Palestine. 15,000 children slaughtered.
A lawsuit has been filed against a Jewish student organization over I Heart Hamas stickers posted around UBC.
We have been harassed. We have been defamed.
The stickers, which also had UBC Social Justice Center printed on them, were spotted around campus last November. They had been put on posters advertising a student walkout for Palestine. At the time, HillelBC said that unbeknownst to them, an independent contractor had participated in the distribution of the stickers, which it called offensive, adding it terminated its relationship with that contractor. On Thursday, a lawyer for UBC Social Justice Center announced the group had filed a defamation claim against HillelBC.
The information in the stickers was untrue, hurtful, and harmful to the SJC and its members. This case is about the harm the stickers caused to our clients and is also about protecting the rights of students to express their views on campus without fearing that they will become the target of untrue, defamatory smears.
The last couple months have been incredibly stressful and challenging for myself and my colleagues at the SJC.
In a Thursday statement on its Instagram page, HillelBC says in part, "We cannot comment on the specifics as the matter is currently before the courts and we have not yet been served with court documents." It adds, "At a time when anti-Semitic hate crimes in British Columbia have surged, including on our campuses, we are deeply concerned that this lawsuit will result in a further reduction of safe spaces for Jewish students." While it doesn't name UBC in its suit, UBC Social Justice Center says it's also disappointed with how the school handled the incident.
The university has done nothing about it. They have not helped us set the record straight, and they have not helped us hold those responsible accountable.
City News reached out to UBC, which said it won't comment on the suit as it's not named in it. But it said campus security notified University RCMP about the stickers and that UBC provided information to the Mounties. City News reached out to the RCMP, which said the investigation has since concluded and no charges were laid. In Vancouver, Monica Gould, City News.
La jeune femme mythomane qui avait inventé de toutes pièces cette agression antisémite dans le RER a décidé de s'exprimer pour présenter ses excuses. Une semaine après ce délit imaginaire qui a suscité de très nombreuses réactions politiques et médiatiques, Marie-Léonie sort de son silence, peut-être pour obtenir la clémence du tribunal. Christophe Winman, Christian Gallet.
C'est une jeune femme très fragile qui nous reçoit chez ses parents. Marie-Léonie, la victime imaginaire du RERD, voudrait se faire oublier. Et c'est à visage caché qu'elle récite ses regrets.
Je suis profondément désolée de tout ce qui est arrivé par ma faute. Je présente mes excuses à Monsieur le Président de la République, à Madame Nicole Gage et aux personnes qui ont manifesté leur soutien sur mon mensonge. Je regrette cet acte et je demande pardon à tous ceux que j'ai trompés et blessés.
Samedi dernier, Marie-Léonie décrit aux policiers une terrible agression antisémite dans le RER contre elle et son bébé. Immédiatement, c'est l'indignation générale. Hommes politiques, médias, associations condamnent un acte odieux qui n'était en fait qu'un gros mensonge. Pour dénonciation de délit imaginaire, la jeune femme risque 6 mois de prison et 7 500 euros d'amende.
Je pense qu'elle se rend compte que c'est grave ce qu'elle a fait. Elle a quand même mis la France en émoi. Le président de la République est intervenu, donc c'est important qu'elle présente ses excuses. Et bon, maintenant, elle attend avec sérénité le procès.
En présentant ses excuses publiques, Marie-Léonie espère peut-être la clémence du tribunal. Elle sera jugée le 26 juillet prochain.
Michel Alliot-Marie.
The mayor of Amsterdam has backtracked on her use of the word pogrom to describe the violence which erupted following the Ajax-Maccabi Tel Aviv football match in the Dutch capital. Speaking to Dutch state media on Sunday, Femke Halsema expressed her dismay that the term had subsequently been manipulated to serve political agendas.
Ik wil zeggen dat ik in de dagen daarna heb gezien hoe het woord pogrom heel politiek werd en eigenlijk tot propaganda werd. De Israëlische regering die spreekt over een Palestijnse pogrom in de Amsterdamse straten. In politiek Den Haag wordt het woord pogrom vooral gebruikt om Marokkaanse Amsterdammers, moslims, te discrimineren. Zo heb ik het niet bedoeld.
It comes as Moroccan-born Dutch Finance Secretary Noura Akaba announced her resignation following comments made by the government's hard-right leader Geert Wilders. Last Wednesday, Wilders blamed Moroccans for attacks on the Israeli football fans, claiming that we saw Muslims hunting Jews and adding that it was fueled by Moroccans who want to destroy Jews. He also said those convicted of involvement should be deported if they have dual nationality.
Time now for Truth or Fake, and Catalina Marchand-Dabreux is with us today in today's edition. A viral miscaptioned video circulating on social media, and it claims that Muslims are hunting Jews. Tell us more about this, Catalina, if you can.
That's right. Here we're going to show some examples of this viral post that's going around where users are sharing this video in Amsterdam claiming that it shows hundreds of Middle Eastern migrants are out hunting Jews on the streets of Amsterdam tonight. A post by Visegrad 24, known for spreading misinformation on X, while other users who are sharing the same video also claim, for instance, in this post seen over 7 million times on X, this user claims Muslim mobs in Amsterdam are hunting Jews tonight. I wish this was fiction. It's not a post from November 8th. And this viral post, as we said, seen 7 million times. So very viral. Let's take a look at this video where you see the streets of Amsterdam, mobs of men who are attacking other men. Indeed, these are riots between soccer fans following the soccer match between Ajax Amsterdam and Maccabi Tel Aviv. That users claim this video shows clashes between Muslims and Jews, Jews soccer fans following this Europa League soccer match that resulted in attacks categorized as anti-Semitic by authorities, local authorities in Amsterdam, Israel, across Europe and the US internationally.
So what do the images really show then?
Well, Angela, according to our analysis, these claims are fake. We'll explain. In a reply to a tweet spreading these false claims, the actual photographer who recorded this video said, and I quote, that this video actually depicts a group of Maccabi Tel Aviv supporters starting a fight and beating one Dutch man. So this is according to the photographer who filmed this footage herself. And here's the original footage published by the photographer on X, called Ionette on X. The Dutch photographer is actually called Annette de Graaf, where you could see she provided an extended version of this video showing what actually happened, clearly captioning the video fight in front of Amsterdam Central Station. So an analysis conducted by our fact-checking colleagues at MISPAR also clearly aligns with this version given by the photographer's testimony on social media, where Maccabi supporters are identified in this video by their yellow and navy colors, which are the colors of the Maccabi Tel Aviv club fans, as you can see in this picture right here, as they engage in a fight in the images with one Dutch man. This version of facts showing violence coming from Maccabi fans on that night also aligned with what's being said by the Dutch prime minister, as well as the Dutch police, who say that Maccabi fans also attacked a taxi and burned a Palestinian flag in Amsterdam last Wednesday, and that on the day of the game, Maccabi supporters were filmed chanting anti-Arab slogans in videos that were also verified by Reuters. Of course, this does not take away from the anti-Semitic attacks that left 5 people hospitalized and over 60 people at least detained after the attacks on Israeli soccer fans in Amsterdam.
And it seems that quite a lot of media have miscaptioned these videos in their reports as well.
That's right. Not only is users on social media, but the same footage was also misrepresented by many major media outlets in their reporting. As reported here, as pointed out by the photographer herself on her account on X, the photographer demanded an apology and the removal of her miscaptioned footage by major media news outlets such as CNN, BBC, The Guardian, The New York Times, amongst others. Let's take a look at some examples that are still miscaptioned and published online here. For example, we have the Wall Street Journal with the caption showing the video with a caption while captioning it as Israeli soccer fans attacked by mob in Amsterdam. We have another example by CBS that captions it as Israeli soccer fans attacked in Amsterdam, while the BBC also uses this footage to show once again during an interview, Israeli soccer fans who experienced violence in Amsterdam. Wrong information, since this video, as we've explained, actually shows Israeli soccer fans attacking a Dutch man, falsely being labeled by several media outlets, as we showed, as Israeli soccer fans being attacked by locals or pro-Palestinian soccer fans. So media such as the New York Times as well, who used this video and miscaptioned it, either omitted a correction. For instance, the New York Times stated on the article itself that they independently confirmed that the verified footage actually shows a group of Maccabi soccer fans chasing a man on the street, while Deutsche Welle on X also says that the clip that they showed is miscaptioned with the wrong context, while it seems other media just deleted the miscaption of video online.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Catalina.
Ma porte d'entrée avec croix gammée, étoile juive, peuple de David.
Deux mois que cela dure et il y en a partout. Sa boîte aux lettres, sa porte d'entrée, les escaliers, l'ascenseur.
C'est pas quelqu'un qui s'amuse en fait. Parce que c'est trop grave, c'est trop gros, c'est trop.
À peine effacé, de nouveaux tags apparaissent, de plus en plus ciblés, jusqu'aux menaces de mort.
Pour moi, le déclencheur où j'en peux plus, c'est là, voilà. Avec dans l'ascenseur, avec marqué 10e gauche. Et sur la droite, sale juif, morte. C'est forcément quelqu'un de l'immeuble, parce que mes voisins proches à qui je parle ici, ils se disent c'est pas possible autrement. Soit c'est quelqu'un du lotissement d'ici, ça devient du harcèlement. C'est même plus, ouais, c'est répétitif. C'était la troisième fois. Ensuite, il y a eu une quatrième, il y a eu des lettres anonymes. Ensuite, on a eu les escaliers tagués, le côté de la porte. Et après, là, il y a donc à peu près 15 jours maintenant, et sont arrivés les mots, parce qu'au départ, c'était que des dessins. Et là, ça a commencé à monter en fait en grade.
6 plaintes ont été déposées au commissariat du 11e arrondissement. Une enquête est en cours. En attendant, cette mère de famille ne vit plus.
Il y a 6 plaintes avec des compléments de plaintes. Donc il faut savoir que j'y vais pratiquement en ce moment. Tous les 3 jours, je suis à la police pour porter un complément de plainte. Moi, je dors plus. Je ne vis plus. J'ai l'impression que je suis abandonnée là. Je me sens menacée. Je me sens en colère aussi parce que je ne comprends pas qu'on puisse s'attaquer comme ça. Et que rien ne bouge. Bien sûr, on me dit qu'il faut partir, il faut quitter, il faut aller dans un autre logement. Oui, d'accord. Mais pendant ce temps-là, la personne ou les personnes qui font ça, qu'est-ce qu'elles font, elles ? Elles sont chez elles, elles sont tranquilles. Mais moi, ma vie, par contre, elle est mise en guillemets depuis 2 mois.
Hors de question pour elle de partir de chez elle, de cet appartement où elle a grandi avec ses parents. Mais Nancy est d'autant plus inquiète car elle habite dans le même immeuble que Mireille Knoll, cette femme juive de 85 ans assassinée chez elle en 2018.
Gil Ofer rief gestern Morgen vor dem Landgericht Leipzig. Es ist der 6. Prozesstag, der die spektakuläre Wende bringt. Ofarim gesteht, gelogen zu haben. Seinen Antisemitismus-Vorwurf gegen einen Hotelmitarbeiter hatte er sich offenbar ausgedacht. Ein Paukenschlag. Damit ist klar, Gil Ofarim hat alle belogen. Die Öffentlichkeit, die Medien und auch Stern-TV, wo er in früheren Interviews seine Lügen mehrfach wiederholte.
Ich war alleine. Ich hatte leider keinen, der mir da irgendwie helfen konnte. Keiner hat den Mund aufgemacht.
Möchtest du an dieser Darstellung aus deinem Instagram-Video irgendwas relativieren?
Nein, auf keinen Fall. Warum?
Am 5. Oktober 2021 hatte Gil Ofarim auf Instagram dieses Video veröffentlicht, das er am Vorabend aufgenommen hatte.
Ich bin ganz sprachlos. Ich weiß nicht, wie ich es sagen soll.
Der jüdische Sänger berichtet, beim Einchecken in dieses Leipziger Hotel antisemitisch beleidigt worden zu sein. In dem Video trägt er einen Davidstern.
Ich stehe hier mit meiner Kette, steht mir zu, mache ich schon mein Leben lang. Und eine Person nach der anderen wird vorgezogen. Und ich verstehe nicht, warum. Irgendwie, ohne Scheiß, 15 Minuten später komme ich dran und frage, entschuldigen Sie bitte, was ist los? Das ist nicht in Ordnung. Warum werden alle vorgezogen? Dann sagt er, dieser Herr W., um die Schlange zu entzerren. Ich stehe auch in der Schlange. Und dann ruft irgendeiner aus der Ecke, packt einen Stern ein. Und dann sagt der Herr W., packen Sie Ihren Stern ein. Und dann sagt er, wenn ich den jetzt einpacke, darf ich einchecken. Wirklich?
Millionen Menschen schauen sich das Video an. Empörung macht sich breit. Vor dem Hotel demonstrieren Menschen gegen Antisemitismus. Nur einen Tag nach seinem brisanten Video ist Gil Ofarim live zu Gast bei Stern-TV und erklärt, er habe mit der Veröffentlichung gehadert.
Ich habe die ganze Nacht wachgelegen und wusste nicht, ob ich das jetzt tun soll oder nicht. Wird das einen Unterschied machen oder nicht? Ganz ehrlich, verzeihen Sie mir mein Deutsch. Es kotzt mich an. Es ist nicht mein Job, das zu machen. Ich bin weder Antisemitismusbeauftragter. Ich bin einfach nur ein Künstler, ein Musiker, ein Mensch, der einfach nur in einem Hotel einchecken wollte.
Die Vorwürfe gegen den Hotelmitarbeiter Markus W. bekräftigt Gil Ofarim auch bei uns. Eine Lüge, wie seit gestern klar ist.
Wie hast du in dem Moment dann auf den Affront reagiert? Packen Sie Ihren Stern ein.
Es ging alles sehr schnell. Von der Seite kam der Spruch. Ich drehte mich noch um, konnte die Person nicht ausfindig machen. Und dann sagte mir der Angestellte vom Hotel den gleichen Satz wieder. Ich habe dann das Hotel verlassen. Ich musste da einfach raus.
Heute lesen wir, der betreffende Hotelmitarbeiter hat jetzt seinerseits dich, Gil, angezeigt wegen Verleumdung. Was heißt ja nichts anderes als Ofarim lügt, ja, über die Geschehnisse. Was löst das in dir aus?
Was soll ich dazu sagen? Natürlich, er muss es ja machen. Also,
Er muss nicht,
aber ganz ehrlich, ich glaube nicht, dass er den Mut hat zu sagen, ich stehe zu meiner Aussage, ich habe das gesagt, das passiert nicht.
Tatsächlich wachsen in den Tagen danach die Zweifel an Ofarims Aussagen. Grund ist ein Überwachungsvideo, das ihn am betreffenden Abend bei der Ankunft vor dem Leipziger Hotel zeigt. Daran ist nicht zu erkennen, dass er seine Kette mit dem Davidstern trägt. Das Video macht bundesweit Schlagzeilen. Ofarim aber bleibt bei seiner Version.
Ich habe die Wahrheit gesagt. Über das Hotel, im Hotel, vor dem Hotel, in dem Video, in der Vernehmung.
Als Ofarim die Lobby betritt, warten mehrere Gäste an der Rezeption. Später spricht er mit dem Hotelangestellten Markus W. Dann verlässt er das Hotel und nimmt das Video mit den schweren Vorwürfen auf. Erst darin zu sehen, die Kette mit dem Davidstern. Bei Stern-TV bitten wir Ofarim erneut, Stellung zu nehmen.
Warum soll jemand sagen, pack den Stern ein, in einem Moment, in dem der Stern ja eingepackt war, ganz offensichtlich unterm T-Shirt war, unter der Jacke, jedenfalls nicht sichtbar war? Das ist für viele Leute eine Diskrepanz.
Kann ich absolut verstehen, aber ich kann es nicht anders sagen. Ich hatte meinen Stern an.
Möchtest du an dieser Darstellung aus deinem Instagram-Video irgendwas relativieren, ergänzen, zurücknehmen, in ein anderes Licht drücken?
Nein, auf keinen Fall.
Warum? Also wieso sollte ich jetzt was anderes sagen, als so wie ich es zuvor gesagt habe, in den letzten zwei Wochen auch?
Inzwischen ist klar, Ofarim ist an diesem Tag nicht antisemitisch beleidigt worden. Er soll sich beschwert haben, weil andere Gäste ihm vorgezogen wurden. Bei Hotelmitarbeiter Markus W. drohte er, das Hotel öffentlich schlecht zu machen. Dann nahm er das Video mit den schlimmen Vorwürfen auf. Der Hotelmitarbeiter aber zeigt den Prominenten wegen Falschbehauptung und Verleumdung an. Das vermeintliche Opfer wird zum Angeklagten. Vor drei Wochen beginnt der Prozess gegen Gil Ofarim. Zunächst rückt er von seiner Version nicht ab. Gestern dann das überraschende Geständnis. Nur wenige Sätze, die alles verändern.
Die Vorwürfe treffen zu. Ich möchte mich bei Ihnen entschuldigen. Es tut mir leid, ich habe das Video gelöscht.
Ofarim muss dem Hotelmitarbeiter ein Schmerzensgeld und zusätzlich 10.000 Euro an zwei Einrichtungen zahlen. Das Verfahren wird dann endgültig eingestellt. Für ein weiteres Interview mit SternTV war der Sänger seit seinem Geständnis nicht zu erreichen. Sein Anwalt teilt uns schriftlich mit, Zitat:
Ich glaube offen gestanden auch nicht, dass Herr Ofarim in nächster Zeit Interviews geben wird.